I love that song. Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance. If you have your copy of God's Word with you this morning, you will turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is one of many, but one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I want to title this morning, straight from the copy of God's Word, that to be a good servant of Christ. I want to look at that this morning, to encourage us through God's Word, not from me, to be good servants of Christ. This morning, if you're not a servant of Christ, you can be. As we'll read later on, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Amen. In our passage this morning, Paul calls Timothy to put these things before the brothers. If you look at verse 6a, you'll see, put these things before the brothers and you will be a good servant of Christ. This morning, I want to look at these things. I want to encourage us through these things. I want to charge of these things. I want to challenge all of us, including myself, of these things to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. Many times we hear pastors say, and I've used it many times, do we truly long to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Well, these are ways that we can be a good servant of Christ. Now, Paul exhorts or urges, which means emphatically he's encouraging. That's what Paul is doing for Timothy. That's what God's Word does for us, to emphatically encourage us in these things. Now, Paul is telling Timothy to focus on his lifestyle and his teachings. Okay, the theme of 1 Timothy, the theme of this letter, this first letter that Paul writes to Timothy, is that the gospel leads to practical, visible change in the lives of those who believe it. Understand, this is the main theme of these six chapters in this letter. Anytime we read these things in this book multiple times, Paul is writing that the gospel leads to practical, visible change. Why? Because that's what God does, that supernatural work from inside to out. He who works in you for His good pleasure. Now, without question, we'll not take this out of context. This is Paul's call or charge to Timothy as a life of a pastor. But I truly believe that as Christians, Scripture urges us to apply these things to our lives, to our lives, to our lifestyle, to our servanthood of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I do want to look at some things to be a good servant of Christ. One must be willing to, A, train yourself. We'll see that in verses 7 through 10. Immerse yourself. We'll see those in verses 11 through 15. And to check yourself in verses 16. So if you will now, we'll look at these 10 verses. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 16. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine you have followed. Have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise to the present life and also to the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on a living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and in conduct, in love and in faith and in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which has been given by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. Father God, be with us this morning. Father, open eyes and ears and hearts to, Father God, your truth. Father, help us to exalt you this morning. and do all these things to glorify you. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. First, if one wants to be a good servant of Jesus Christ or of Christ Jesus, one should be willing to train yourself. Train yourself. Look at verses 7 and 8. He says, have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Stay away from these silly myths. We get caught up in it, don't we? I do. We get caught up sometimes in this irrelevant babble that's going on. Now, do we stand on truth? Yes, sir. We'll see this in the rest of this letter. But he is telling Timothy, man, these silly myths, these genealogies, these silly things, these heretical teachings, stop focusing so much on that, on these pointless talks and arguments. And you've had them, right? You've had them with lost people. Remember when you were lost? Did you understand all these things? Did you understand the sovereignty of God? The doctrine of providence? Stay away from those things. Stay away from these pointless talks and arguments is what he's doing. Because there is some heretical teachings, right? I was walking through 1 John, same place in Ephesus. The Gnosticism. That's alive well today, right? You've got to have some special knowledge. It's going on today. It's just another form of it. All these heretical teachings. Brother Jimmy talked about it earlier this morning and in Sunday school. These cheap grace, this prosperity gospel, it's everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, we're to stick our nose in it and say, this is wrong. This is wrong. But we do not train ourselves for this. What does Paul command Timothy to do? What does Scripture command us to do as servants of Christ? Train ourselves for what? Godliness. Godliness. Train yourselves for godliness. Instead of all these silly myths and all this here and there and these pointless talks, train yourself for godliness. Men and women in this room, if you want to be good servants of Christ, train yourself for godliness. Now, what does train mean? Train says to form by discipline, to make fit, qualified, or proficient. That's what we're to do. Train ourselves for godliness. How do we do that? Prayer. Prayer. Why would we start somewhere else? Well, Brother Pat, there's a lot of things, yes, and we'll get to them, but prayer. You beg God for all things. When you train yourself, you beg God. Beg God. In the future, I want to do an attribute study of God. You know what I've been praying daily? God, I want to know you deeper. God, reveal yourself more and more to me. Spend time in prayer. And listen, Christians, I struggle with prayer just like the rest of you. Probably the most important thing. What do we neglect the most? Prayer. Prayer. Train ourselves for godliness. Spend time with Him. Study, meditate, and memorize God's Word. Train yourself for godliness. Prayer. Study, meditate, and memorize God's Word. Study it. Meditate on it. And memorize it. Take it with you. I hide your Word in my heart, that I may not sin against you at the workplace. Man, study, memorize it. You must be willing to train yourself for godliness, to be a good servant of Christ. We have no excuses. What do we have indwelling inside of us? The Holy Spirit. We have everything we need to train ourselves to be a good servant of Christ. Prayer. Study, meditate, memorize God's Word. Discipleship. We throw around, and you remember, did y'all grow up always hearing about having an accountability partner? Listen, man, that's not a bad thing. Man, have somebody in your life that will tell you truth, that will call sin, sin. Have somebody that you talk to regularly. Disciple. Find somebody who is like you and walk through life with them. Man, train yourself for godliness. Fellowship. Fellowship. Share with others the gospel of Jesus Christ. Train yourself for godliness. Men and women, we must train ourselves to be good servants of Jesus Christ. We were not saved to sit. We were not saved to sit. We are not hyper-Calvinist. That is a heresy. We do not get saved and then go home to our bubble and say, well, God's going to save His chosen people. No, faith comes by what? Hearing. How many of y'all hear that? Share the gospel and sometimes use words. It's not true. It's not true. Now, we hope to live out the gospel, right? And somebody say, hey, why do you act the way you do? Let me tell you why. Let me tell you about Christ. Because that's what we boast in, right, Christians? We boast in Christ and Christ alone. Train yourself. Now, why do we train ourselves? For God's glory. For God's glory. To share and live out the gospel. We must be willing to train ourselves. You think about what we disciple and discipline our bodies to do on a regular basis. So many things. I work at a school, as Brother Jeremy said this morning. You ought to see the amount of young people roll through there who get extra tutors so they can have straight A's, who have hitting coaches and shooting coaches and dribbling coaches and tie-your-shoe coaches and extra strength coaches. Everything they can to make their baby popular and materialistic in this world. But don't train them for godliness. Train yourself for godliness. Men and women, if we're going to serve Christ, serve Christ. Train yourself. We have no excuses. Remember, it's not on us. It's not about us. How much did you deserve to be saved? What did you do to be saved? Nothing. It's God's grace and grace alone. You know what fulfills the gospel life after you're saved? That same grace. You rely and you're dependent on God. Train yourself. He indwells with you. Train yourself for godliness. Look at verse 9. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. That is beautiful. It's beautiful if you've read this letter. Because if you look at verse 9, it says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. If you turn one page over and you look at chapter 1, verse 15, look at chapter 1, verse 15. In this same letter, Paul writes, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Same line, right? Look how he finishes verse 15 in chapter 1. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Train yourself for godliness. Fall in love with Christ Jesus. Not labels. Our religion is Christ and Christ alone. And once you discipline yourself and you train yourself, then the theme of 1 Timothy is that the gospel of Jesus leads to visible and practical change in someone's life to give God the glory. The saying is full, is trustworthy and a full acceptance. The gospel message. And look at what he says in verse 10. So we train ourselves in godliness, and the saying is a full acceptance that Christ came to save sinners. Look how beautiful this verse is. For to this end we toil and strive. So why do we train? Why do we toil? Why do we strive in this life? Because the saying is trustworthy and a full acceptance that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. And I think when we're saved, we can all agree with Paul that I am the chief. That's who we are before. And we toil and strive to train ourselves in godliness because we want to know Christ and know Him deeper. And ultimately, we want to tell others about Christ. We want to be kingdom-minded, as Brother Jimmy lays in our feet day by day. Kingdom-minded. This is why we toil and serve. This is why we want to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. We toil and we serve to know Him better and deeper. And we toil and serve and train ourselves for godliness so we can be the light in this dark world and tell others. Men and women, I challenge you, train yourself for godliness. not for anything of your own good, for God's glory. For God's glory. This is why we toil and strive. And look how he ends verse 10. Because we, that pronoun there is for Christians. Because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Men and women, who is your hope in this morning? I hope it's not in me. I'm going to let you down. No offense. I hope it's not in Brother Jimmy and Brother Jeremy, because they're going to let you down. I hope it's not your spouse. They're going to let you down. Children, I hope it's not your mom and dad. They're going to let you down. Your hope should be in the living God. The living God. The God who cannot fail. And Paul writes in Ephesians, the one who works all things. All things according to the counsel of His will. Train yourself for that God. That God. Are we truly humbled that that God, the God of the Bible, uses broken people like us? That He reaches down and He saves wretched, filthy, rebellious sinners like us? And then gives us everything we need to train ourselves for godliness, and He uses us for His glory and to tell other people. We are part of His plan. That is unbelievable. I think about the men in coaching I would love to meet. But yet I don't want to train myself for godliness and spend time with the Creator of the universe. Man, train yourselves for godliness. That in that will, in His perfect will, He uses people like us. Wow. Train yourself for godliness. Men and women, you know the epicenter of Christianity? You know what the number one thing in Christianity is? It's to know the God of the Bible. That's Christianity. It's no Navy SEAL you grow. Yeah, there's a sanctification process, but the epicenter is to know God of the Bible. To know Him. To know that God of the Bible deeper and more intimately. There's a study out there that comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. Behold your God. Do you know that God? Do you train yourself to know that God deeper and more intimately? To know God. Here's a newsflash. Life is not about you. Life is not about me. Do you know this God? We revolve around God and His glory and His will. Men and women, it's not the other way around. God did not save any of us because there's something we can offer Him. The world and all of God's purposes and wills do not revolve around us. It is the other way around. Train yourself to know that God. We are to awe in that God. To have a childlike awe and faith in that God. We serve and our hope is in a living God. And never think you've got to the point where you know Him as He commands His people to know Him. You dive deeper and you train yourself more to be a good servant, because that's it. Behold your God. Know Him. Know Him. Train yourself for godliness. For this living God is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Context, please. He is, as Brother Jimmy said this morning, we used this verse this morning, that's providence. He is the only Savior of the world. Context, please. Especially those who believe, yes, there is, like Brother Jeremy said, Brother Jimmy's illustration of I love Reese and Riley more than I love the other children in here. Yes, that's how God loves His people. I love the children in here, but not like I love mine. That's God. And when you know God better, everything's humbling, everything makes sense. God's the same. I mean, he's good to all people. Do we not understand that? Yes, even the lost. You know what the lost are doing today? They enjoy God's creation. They're enjoying breath. They may be married. They know what love is. They may have children. They know how to love children. These are all just God's grace here. Now, we call that common grace, but God is good. You know what David writes in Psalm 145, 8 and 9? The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Now, context here. But this is the living God. When you truly know God, he is good to all, because you know what we deserve? Do you know what we deserve? Just relish in that, Christians. Just dive into that and see what God saved you from. But even the lost, even those that are continue in their hardened hearts and rebellious ways, he's even still good to them. Because what should happen to them right now, instantly? But he doesn't. But one day he will be glorified. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. He'll be glorified by calling his people home. He'll be glorified by sending those that continue to rebel into a place called hell. And remember, that's his hell. God didn't light a match and walk away. You're going to be in his presence for all time, suffering the wrath, the holy white wrath, for sin unrepentant. This is God. Men and women, I challenge you, I charge you to train yourself for godliness. If you want to be a good servant of Jesus Christ, this is number one. Train yourself for godliness. Let's look at the second thing. Second, to be a good servant of Christ, one should be willing to immerse yourself. Now, I kind of want to work backwards here. We're going to look at verses 11 through 15, but I want to look at 11, jump to 15 and back. Okay? Look at what he says in verse 11. Command and teach these things. Remember what we're talking about with this letter, these things. These things are the gospel that those who believe it, it's a practical and visible change. Command and teach these things, Timothy. For us Christians, we are commanded to live out these things and teach these things to our homes, to live out these things in our place of work and teach these things. Look at verse 15. He says, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. Immerse yourself in these things. Train yourself for God in these things. Then he says, command and teach these things. Practice and immerse yourself in these things. As the gospel visible change, let's go now look at verse 12. What should we immerse ourselves in? What should we practice in? Look at verse 12. He says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Okay, real quick. Timothy is not 17. Okay, young doesn't mean like that. Young probably means somewhere in his 30s and his 40s. But still back in that time, a 30 and a 40-year-old like myself wasn't classified as someone, he didn't have enough gray hair for wisdom. But Paul was still charging him. Okay? But how can we immerse and practice ourselves in these things? Men and women, are you spending time with, are you training yourself for godliness? Then practice and immerse yourself in these things daily. In verse 12, what's the first one? In speech. That one's hard, isn't it? Matthew 12:34b, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But if you train yourself for godliness, what do you think is going to be abundantly coming from your heart and out your mouth? You know what ministry really is? Of all the time I spend in that place in New Orleans that trains people about the Bible, you know what I've come to find out ministry is? It's just an overflow of your personal walk with Christ. That's all it is. That's how people know if you're fake or not. It's just an overflow of what Jesus is doing, has done for you, continues to do in your daily walk with him. That's all ministry is. It's just an overflow. Immerse yourself, men and women. If you want to be a good servant, practice these things in speech. In speech. The Bible also tells us where one's heart is, what? So is his treasure. Man, you think about in speech. In speech, what we can do with our, just our speech. How we can be a good servant of Christ. How we can glorify God. And how we can show and share others with Christ. Then in conduct, look in conduct. Here's number two. Practice in conduct. 1 Peter 2:15. Like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Yes, Christians. Listen to me again. Like the Holy One who called you, saved you, justified you, reconciled you, restored you, that holy God, you yourselves be holy in your behavior also, Peter calls us to do. Train ourselves for godliness. We should pursue holiness and righteousness. Listen to me. A gospel message with an ungodly lifestyle is hypocrisy. You know what the number one cause of atheists in America is? Hypocrites. Now, we all know there's no such thing as an atheist, but that's their excuse. You want to know why? And you know it. How many of you can go to work on a weekly basis and see people that they have a gospel message with their mouth, but their lifestyle speaks something else? In conduct, train yourself. In conduct, we should be longing to be Christ-like. And yes, Christians, you can, again, because you have everything you need inside you. You have the Holy Spirit. Train yourself in speech and in conduct. People will follow how a person lives way more than what someone says. As Brother Jeremy said, I'm telling you, I've coached long enough. I look young, and I started young, probably younger than I should have. You can't lie to a child. That child will walk in my gym, and he knows if I care about him or not. Either I care about him and what kind of man he's going to be, or I'm just using you to get wins so I can get a raise. They know the difference. You know why? My actions. My actions and conduct, men and women. If you want to be a good servant of Christ, immerse yourself in these things. Speech, conduct. How about in love? John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that one laid down his life for his friends. If you're married in here, love is a verb. It is an action. It is a sacrificial action. You know who defines love? God. Look what God done for us. In Christ. That's an action. That's sacrificial love. That's how we are to love. Is it hard? Yes. That's why we train ourselves for godliness. Why? Because we want to know God deeper and we want to be good servants of Jesus Christ. Even in speech, in conduct, and even in love. Fourth, we see in faith. Now this doesn't believe, this isn't like saving faith. Servants of Christ, they have saving faith. That saving faith is proved or affirmed because they are present tense, constantly believing, always believing. No, this faith is an unswerving commitment to God. Do you have that? Practice an unswerving commitment to have faith in God. In that faith, do we pray, help my unbelief? Is that your desire in faith? Help my unbelief. Your Bible tells me not to worry, but I have two daughters. I worry. Oh, God, help my unbelief. Do you think I love Reese and Riley more than God loves Reese and Riley? God, help my unbelief. Servants of Jesus Christ, serve Him well. Immerse yourself in these things. You don't have to walk around with your chest bowed out like you're spiritually way up here. No, we need Christ every second of every day. Help my unbelief. I want to have unswerving faith in you, in the good and the bad. That way when we read Romans 8:28, we understand what it means. He works all things for those who love Him. All things, the good and the bad. And what's the purpose of that? To conform us to Christ. That's the faith we want. And last, in purity. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, he says, flee from youthful lust. If we're going to be a good servant of Jesus Christ, then we need to be pure. Need to be pure. That's our actions, intentions of heart. What's our intentions of things? Pat, why do you want to be a pastor? What's the intentions of your heart, Pat? Do you want people to like you, or do you want the Lord to be pleased with you? What's the intentions of your heart in the things you immerse and practice yourself in? I hope it's to glorify God and know Him deeper. Immerse yourselves, men and women, in these things. Train yourself for godliness and immerse and practice these things. Now, if you read verses 13 and 14, you see this is mainly a charge to Timothy as a pastor. Hey, but you hold me and Brother Jimmy to this. You hold elders accountable to these things in verses 13 and 14. What are we to do as pastors? Do not neglect the gift that, in verse 13, until I come, what is Timothy to do? The public reading of Scripture. Men and women, if you ever hear me preaching, you want to hear about stories, don't come when I'm preaching. I'm not telling you stories about me or about people I know. Why do I get educated? Men will tell you in this room, because when I say, thus saith the Lord, I want to make sure that I'm saying, thus saith the Lord, not me. We should be, as pastors, devoting to the public reading of Scripture, and then we exposit or explain that Scripture. Basically, we let it out and let it do the work. That's what elders are called to do. What else? To exhortation. Remember what that is. That's us to challenge you to apply, immerse, practice these things. What good would it be to hear a message and then just go and not apply it? The gospel transforms all. Head, heart, hand, actions. Apply these things. Pastors should explain, exhort, and encourage you to apply these things, Christians, to your daily lives. Next, to teach. Sound teaching, correct teaching. Like Brother Jeremy said this morning, studying to teach people what God's Word says. Not just the basic skim level of it. Man, let's dive into it. Because He has revealed Himself to His people. This is what Paul is commanding Timothy. This is what you Christians should demand and to hold your elders accountable to the public reading of Scripture, to the exhortation or applying to that Scripture, and to teach. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he tells Timothy, preach the Word, period. The, definite article, the Word. Preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Pastors must also immerse and practice these things. To be a good servant, train yourself for godliness. Two, immerse and practice these things. And third, to be a good servant of Christ, one must be willing. Check yourself. Look at verse 16. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Again, Paul is telling Timothy. But Christians, Scripture tells us to keep a close eye on ourselves. Examine yourself, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Peter says the same thing. To examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Both of them. 1 Peter and Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Check yourself. Are you in the faith? And on the teaching. Oh, here we go. That is correct, sound doctrine. You hear me? There's a lot of crazy teachings out there. You know why me and Brother Jimmy can lay our head down at night? Because people that we shepherd, God is so good to both of us and Brother Jeremy that He has given us people that love God and His Word. Period. Sound teaching. Check yourselves. Check yourselves. Acts 17:11. Who are noble? Those that go, that hear God's word with eagerness and then go home and study them to see if whatever I said was true. That's what you need to do. Teach sound doctrine. Don't ever let somebody tell you doctrine is not important. Doctrine is a church word, but let me tell you what doctrine means. It's what you believe. What's the Bible say to be saved in the New Testament? Repent and what? Believe. Doctrine. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine is important. I had an old woman tell me at Clifton one time, and she didn't even call me by my name. She said, young man, all we need is Jesus. That's right. What Jesus? What Jesus are you following? Jehovah's Witness will tell you about Jesus too. The Muslims will tell you about the man named Jesus also. What Jesus do you believe in? Is it the one that said, I'll do it, Father? Send me. I'll live to your perfect, holy, and righteous standards. I'll do it. I'll obey your will, Father. I'll do it. Send me. I'll live 33 years perfectly. And I will willingly go and sacrifice myself for my people. For all that the Father has given me. And then I not only have the power to lay my body down, but I have the power to pick it up. And 3 days later, he arose victorious over sin and death. And that living God, Jesus, is alive today. That's the Jesus that saves his people from sin. Men and women, this ain't hard. God's standard is perfection. Do you understand that? God's standard is perfection. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, a.k.a. we have a problem. But God, rich in mercy and in love, provides a Savior. And if you believe in Jesus, guess what you have to believe? That there's a holy God and you ain't. There's a lot more to believe in this man called Jesus. Doctrine is important, men and women, to find a biblical church that preaches sound doctrine is important. You don't know the jewels you have here, men and women. You don't. You pray for Brother Jimmy, you pray for Jeremy, and you thank God for them. Because they preach God's Word. And God's Word will not fail. Will not fail. It will bring those who the Father gave him. Amen. Teach Jesus. It's important. It's not information. It's transformation. And that's what the gospel does. Transforms us from inside out. So we have to check ourselves. Guys, we need to keep an eye on how we live and examine ourselves. And our teachings and what we believe. We need to check ourselves. Don't be so arrogant that you don't think you need to check yourself. Yes. And he says, persist in this. What are we persisting in? To persevere. He says that in the end, right there. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this. What are we persevering? Remember I opened this sermon with verse 6a. Look at the last part of verse 6. Being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. This is what we persist and persevere in that good doctrine. Check yourself that we continue to be trained in these words and of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. And in doing so, Paul says, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. Now look, back to the pastor thing. Guys, context. Paul isn't telling Timothy he can save anybody. Timothy can't save anybody. Paul can't save anybody. Put the whole verse in. He's telling Timothy, if you persevere, if you persist in these things, If you train yourself for godliness, if you immerse and practice new things, if you check yourself of your sound doctrine, if you persist and persevere in these things, that affirms that work of salvation has been done in you. And that's benefiting to you and those that hear you, Timothy. You know, congregation, that Brother Jeremy, Brother Jimmy are saved. They can't save you. But watching their lives and their study and how they glory in God benefits because we see the work of God in their lives, and it will benefit those that sit under their teaching. Brother Jimmy and Brother Jeremy can't save you, but by how they hold high God and His Word and the way they live themselves and the things that they focus on will benefit the hearers. That is what Paul is saying. He's not saying Timothy's going to be this great pastor and save people. No. He says, man, pay attention. Timothy, be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Timothy, be in awe of me. Timothy, behold your God. And in doing so, that is very beneficial to you and those that you teach and preach to. Are you a good servant of Christ? Are you a good servant of Christ? If you're a Christian, you have no excuse. You have everything you need. Are you a good servant of Christ? Do you train, immerse, and check yourself in order to live worthy of the high call found in Christ? Do you train, immerse, watch yourself in order to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to truly long to hear once again, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Are you that good servant? If you're not, why? If you're saved in here and you're not the good servant, may I ask you why? What is more important? And this morning before we leave, if you cannot serve Christ because you do not know Christ, why not? Why do you not know Christ? What is so important that you can't go home and cry out to God, God, have mercy on a sinner like me? God, have mercy on a sinner like me. Why not? Why not? I long to be a good servant of Christ Jesus, and not because of me, but for His glory and His glory alone. Father, we do thank You. We thank You for this time of sharing and digging into Your Word. Father God, we're so thankful that You are so good to us, that You have revealed Yourself to us. You have revealed our true selves to us. And in that we find the need for a Savior that You provided in Jesus Christ. Father, we are marveling. Father God, we're at awe. Father God, we worship You for the cross of Christ. Thank You for the gospel message. Thank You for Your gospel message found in Your Son, Jesus Christ. For those in this room, Father God, continue to change us, including myself. Father God, that we want to train ourselves for godliness. Father, that we want to immerse and practice and apply these truths to our lives. And Father God, that we constantly watch and check ourselves, Father God, for Your glory and Your honor alone. Father, for those that don't know You, Father God, I pray that You draw them to Yourself. Draw them to Yourself. Let them see who they are and the great love and grace and mercy You provide in Christ Jesus. Keep us safe as we travel in this weather, Father God. Bring us back tonight to exalt and worship You. We pray these things in the name above all names, Jesus. Amen.